For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.
Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across North America. I'm glad to have you with me as I sit and watch the par three tournament at the Masters. It really is a gorgeous. I can't wait to be there. Nonetheless, I digress. The phone number here, 877-973-7425. I got a guest, and I want to put him on the spot. So I'm not going to, because he can hear me right now. But normally, my gathering conference in Atlanta would be the middle of August. And I really want to get him to come to the conference. And that's his birthday. And so we moved the conference a week early to try to, not to put him on the spot, but like maybe see if we can get him to come, because I just want everybody to meet him, because he should be the next senator from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Notice I didn't say state, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Dave McCormick, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, Eric. How you doing? How's
Great.
Everything?
You're doing well. Look, I don't want to put you on the spot, and I know you got other commitments, but I made sure it's not going to fall on your birthday this year, unlike last year.
All right. Well, that's a good starting point.
Yes.
Well, thank you for the invitation. I mean, I'd love to try to find a way to make that work. I mean, you know, I did Fort Benning in August. And I know what it's like in Georgia in August.
Yeah, we've got air conditioner at our event. Now, look, in all seriousness, I want to actually start with a question I'm curious about, because I hear all the time the stories about illegal immigration in Florida and in Texas and the border states, but it's spreading across the country. You're in Pennsylvania. How does the border crisis and illegal immigration translate in Pennsylvania?
You know, it's so funny, because on October 1st, when I launched the campaign, I would walk into rooms across Pennsylvania and I would say, give me your top three issues. And number one issue was absolutely the economy. And border was in the top three, but it wasn't number one. Now it's number one, 100% number one. And the reason I think it's number one is that there's the fundamental sense of chaos. You can't be a sovereign nation if you have 10 million illegal migrants coming across the border and not respecting the rule of law. But it's also affecting Pennsylvania in very dramatic ways. Philadelphia is a sanctuary city. We see the consequences of this on crime, on homelessness. But the big deal is fentanyl. Fentanyl killed 4,000 people in Pennsylvania last year. It's urban, it's rural, small communities like Bloomsburg, where I grew up, are really being hit by fentanyl. And then the final thing, and I'm wary to say this, but, you know, the national security risk. 168 people last year on the terrorist watch list were apprehended. Those are just the ones apprehended, Eric. And so I'm deeply worried that we're going to have terrorist violence, national security vulnerability in our great country because of these wide open borders. And I'm afraid to say that we may see that down the road and pay the price for this terrible lack of leadership on the part of Joe Biden and frankly, my opponent, Bob Casey, who's been weak from day one on all the border issues.
You know, it's been really striking to me that once John Fetterman got in a suit, his boldness on both Israel, but also now on illegal immigration, going so far as a couple of weeks ago to say he would be willing to take the HR2 border plan from the House in exchange for funding Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan. And Casey's just nowhere to be seen on any of the stuff, except when he is seen, he's on the wrong side.
Nowhere. It's really interesting. As you say, I think if John Fetterman and I went and had a beer together, we'd probably disagree on 90% of what we should do for the direction of the country. But when he speaks with moral clarity and leadership like he has on Israel, he's been unequivocal, he's been clear. And on the border, I applaud him, and I've said this publicly. And the contrast with Bob Casey, mealy-mouthed, holds his, keeps his head down, doesn't want to stake out a position, always waits. You follow him on social media or watch his statements relative to other senators. He always waits. He waits to see how the landscape develops. He doesn't stake out a position. And then when he does stake out a position, it's always very, very measured. And the reason for that is he's not a leader. He's a follower. He's voted with Joe Biden 98% of the time. And that's exactly what we don't need right now in Pennsylvania or the country. We need leaders who are going to fight for change and stand as independent voices for getting America back on track.
Now, let me shift gears a little bit. You were the Undersecretary of Treasury for International Affairs during the Bush administration. We've got these crazy dynamics now with, one, our debt burden as a country, and also China trying to use our debt burden, weaponizing it against us. It seems to me like we, as much as the Biden administration says climate change is a chief national security issue, our debt may actually be our major vulnerability on the world stage right now.
There's no doubt about it. And that $34 trillion, that $1 trillion of interest payments larger than our defense budget is unsustainable. And listen, we got to be honest. When we look at the last 20 years, if we had a chart in front of us that showed the growth in our debt and deficit spending, we would blame both Republicans and Democrats. But what's happened under Joe Biden is unprecedented. It's like a hockey stick, $6 trillion of incremental debt, and it's been the primary driver of inflation. That overspending combined with an attack on fossil fuels has driven up prices of fuel and food and rent almost 20% in Pennsylvania and across the country. And real wages, Eric, are up about 14%. So for working families, and 60% of Pennsylvanians live paycheck to paycheck, for them, they're getting squeezed by Biden. They're getting squeezed by these policies that Bob Casey supported, and the economy's much worse for them than it was when Joe Biden started. And then second, all that spending has now gotten us to the point where if you took all that debt and divided it across every American, every one of us, every one of our kids has more than $100,000 of debt on their head. That's not sustainable. We need a balanced budget amendment. We need hard choices, hard thinking about how to bring our budget in order. The idea that you'd get a omnibus package last week that would be dropped on a senator's chair in 3 days to review it when it's 1,000 pages just shows you how out of control this is. I mean, I wouldn't make a decision on a new car or a piece of furniture the way that they made a decision on more than $1 trillion of incremental spending. And this is why Washington is broken, and we need new leadership.
Yeah, we do. And you mentioned Casey. Obviously, he's your opponent, and he was instrumental in helping pass the Inflation Reduction Act, among other things, that didn't reduce inflation but actually expanded green jobs. That there was a big story in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, I believe it was, about the number of voters in Pennsylvania who are shifting right because the Inflation Reduction Act is costing them their jobs in the energy sector and in coal mines and in other productive parts of the economy.
You know, Eric, when we look back on the Biden administration, which I hope will be very soon, the border is going to be an absolute travesty, an epic mistake. But I think we'll look at energy policy as the most significant strategic miscalculation, because Biden's policy, in 3 years, he has damaged our geopolitical standing, our national security, because he has stopped or slowed what could have been a significant growth in the export of natural gas around the world to our allies. He has hurt energy jobs in Pennsylvania and around the country. We're the fourth largest natural gas reserves in the world. It's enormous. But here's the great irony. He has hurt the environment. Because if your goal is carbon emissions, the best way to reduce carbon emissions globally is to export that beautiful, clean natural gas from Pennsylvania and have it replace coal-fired plants in China and India. And so, and then the final thing, which is just hard to imagine, in a period where we've seen firsthand during COVID that we can't be dependent on China or others for semiconductors or for pharmaceuticals, Joe Biden and Bob Casey have made us unbelievably dependent on China for EVs and solar panels as they've tried to re-engineer our economies. You know, the large majority of lithium batteries and solar panels come from China. So this is absolute madness. It's not even accomplishing the goals that they've articulated, which are absolutely the wrong goals. And we'll look back on this and say that was a strategic error that'll take decades to fight back to some sort of reasonable policy.
We've only got a couple of minutes left, but I want to talk to you a little more about the China situation, because we've got Taiwan. This administration gives great lip service to Taiwan, but just like with Ukraine and Israel, drags their feet on actually helping them. But you've mentioned fentanyl. The Chinese have been deploying resources to Mexico that flood across the border with fentanyl. Now they want to build EVs in Mexico and flood across the border here. I have a sense, and I don't want to bind you to my statement, but I just, my sense is China has already become an aggressor against us, and we still tend to treat them as a rival trading partner.
I completely agree with that. And listen, it's become more and more clear over time that under President Xi, the goal, and he says this in his five-year plans and his speeches, the goal is to displace America as the global superpower. And we need to get wise on this. And I laid out about 6 weeks ago a set of policies which I would be promoting on my first day in the Senate. And they are to eliminate PNTR, the permanent normal trade relations with China. We're giving them access to U.S. markets, and they're not reciprocals. They're not being fair. We need to ban China's involvement in the World Health Organization and essentially get them kicked out of it because they didn't play by the rules during COVID. We need to stop the strategic purchase of farmland. They're buying, you know, huge swaths of American farmland. We can't let that happen. We need to stop the flow of fentanyl and interdict the flow of fentanyl into Mexico and into the United States. It starts in China. And we need to reduce this dependence on solar panels and EVs. We should, lithium batteries rather, we should absolutely not make ourselves dependent on China for our energy future. And then finally, we need to stop U.S. companies and investment firms from investing in the Chinese military. That is a very specific, hard-hitting set of measures that we should take tomorrow. Bob Casey has been in the Senate for 18 years. He's made a lot of noise about China. He's done nothing on China. And we need leadership who actually understands China. I've negotiated against the Chinese. I've served in the military. I've done business in China. I know what we're dealing with. Bob Casey has not the knowledge, the vision, or the leadership to actually get it done. And I think this will be a great issue for me to campaign on.
That's good to hear. So your campaign website, is it still, it's DaveMcCormickPA.com?
DaveMcCormickPA.com. We're running across Pennsylvania in my bus and getting great reception and feeling lots of good momentum. And listen, this is the battleground state that will not only determine the presidency, but will help flip the Senate. And couldn't be more excited about it, and always grateful, Eric, to have the opportunity to be on your terrific show.
Now, see, I was going to make a pun there about it being the Keystone State holding everything together, but you go with battlegrounds. I'll give you the battleground because you're right. I mean, the presidency and the Senate are going to run through Pennsylvania. So best of luck to you. We are happy to help you nationwide.
Yes,
Dave
sir.
McCormick,
it's
always
Dave
good to
McCormick,
hear from you.
DaveMcCormickPA.com. Thanks for having me.
Travel safe. Good to hear from you. Dave McCormick, y'all, he is a candidate around the country, wherever you are. His race matters to take the Senate. Bob Casey is a horrible senator, and this is a winnable race in Pennsylvania with a great candidate, Dave McCormick. Good guy, too. Mechanical engineer, graduated from West Point in the military with a mechanical engineering degree, then got his PhD in international relations. His wife was national security advisor to President Trump. He was a undersecretary of treasury for George Bush. Just a brilliant guy. We got to support him. Dave McCormick, DaveMcCormickPA.com is his website.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday. Want to be on the show? Come on, be on the show. Call Eric now at 877-973-7425.
Breaking news, the procedural vote to attempt to get FISA passed in the House has failed. 19 Republicans voted against it. This is the seventh rule vote to fail during this session of Congress. Four of them have happened thus far under Speaker Johnson. This one would have passed RISA, the reformed the Intelligence Service Act, as opposed to the Foreign Intelligence Service Act, and it has died. So there we have it. Kind of a big deal happening. They're going to have to figure out how to move forward on this. Right now, I want to go to Douglas. You're going to be up next on the Eric Erickson Show. Douglas, how are you?
I'm fine. Eric, it's good to talk with you.
Thank you.
We know that the numbers are, the illegals are high. We hear it all the time. The news is sort of, conservatively, we're hearing about 6 million have come across since Biden took office. And this would be a population greater than 30 states in the United States. This is incredible. Almost everyone understands the numbers are disturbing and the videos are disturbing from the border. But what we don't hear is why. Why are the Democrats so determined that this situation exists? This is clearly intentional.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I can give you my theories.
Sounds good.
Yeah. All right. So first theory is they really do think that we got to keep cheap labor in the country, but they don't want to actually stand for cheap labor because it would alienate the unions. So by leaving an open border, they and the unions can bring in a new pool of people who eventually can be unionized. In the meantime, keep labor low. But the other big issue, probably the biggest issue, is the census requires us to count everybody, not just citizens. So if you're an illegal alien, you get counted in the census. The census then determines population for the Electoral College and congressional districts. So you got a bunch of Democrats leaving blue states, moving to the South where jobs are good and the economy is good. And those blue states are losing populations, so you repopulate with illegal aliens who count for the census so that you don't lose out on the Electoral College when your citizens have disappeared, and you get to game the system that way. I think it's a combination of multiple factors, and that's one of them. But also, Democrats also believe that what are borders? Progressive Democrats believe borders are a construct. A construct of who? White people. And a construct by white people is bad, therefore borders are bad. You got to also remember that thinking is in there. Now, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about Vision Computers, because you can get a fantastic laptop or desktop computer at Vision Computers and save yourself some money. You got kids headed off to college in the fall. You need to be thinking about that. But you also need to think about the tech support, because who do you call when you go to the big box store and you have a problem? Do you use their nerds, or do you have somebody you go to, or do you Google? With Vision Computers, when you buy one of their computers, not only is it top of the line and saved you money when you bought it, but they also become your tech support. They give you a phone number you can call 15 seconds or less. They give you the answer. They don't put you on hold. They don't put you in voicemail hell. They actually answer the phone. They give you the answer you need to fix your computer. And if you're a business, for $179 a year, not a month, but a year, they can be your tech support solution. They save you money. They answer your questions. They build you great computers that are more competitively priced than the one-size-fits-all big box store computer. It's what you get at visioncomputers.com or 404-COMPUTE. Call them at 404-COMPUTE and ask about the Eric Erickson special. 404-COMPUTE or visioncomputers.com.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to the Eric Erickson Show.
I want to thank you guys for something. In all seriousness, I got to think this was you guys. Yesterday morning, I wrote my morning email and asked people to call members of Congress and ask them to oppose reauthorization of FISA unless it also included a provision to block the federal government from using data brokers to get around the Fourth Amendment warrant requirement. You guys apparently flooded Congress because there are multiple media reports about how members of Congress were inundated yesterday with phone calls from around the nation on this issue. And to my knowledge, and to the knowledge of friends of mine in the conservative movement, I'm the only guy who was asking people to call Congress yesterday, and you guys did, so much so that you have succeeded. FISA renewal is dead. 19 Republicans joined Democrats in opposing a rule to bring it to the floor, and they're going to have to reconsider how to advance FISA as a result. And it is a no-brainer to me that you must prohibit the federal government from using data brokers to get around the Fourth Amendment. Get a warrant if you want to search Americans. It's constitutional. So God bless you guys for doing it. Activism matters. It's always been a component of the show, and it worked effectively. Listeners nationwide used it. We are trying to get our activist portal back up and running. We haven't done so, and I'm hoping to be able to get it done soon to make it even easier to give you guys not just problems but solutions. But I owe you a world of thanks when the media is commenting on all you conservative activists from around the country calling Congress yesterday to kill the FISA renewal. Well, looks like it was my listeners. It was you guys, so thank you. If y'all want to get my morning email where I send you these activist alerts, among other things, you should text the word data to 33777, and you can get a 15% off discount to subscribe. You get so much more than just the morning emails. You get the show notes and the like, but those of you who subscribe, you got yesterday's email, and you picked up the phones, and was enough that the media noticed, and it was all y'all. You literally, this audience, helped kill FISA renewal. Now, I want to move on to Arizona because what is happening is a gross distortion of the truth, whether you like the truth or not. I am pro-life. I'm not here to talk to you about abortion. I'm here to talk to you about how the news media, in advance of the Democratic Party's agenda, is getting so much stuff wrong. This is the way constitutional law in the United States of America works. When you have a law on the books, and the Supreme Court makes a ruling contrary to that law is no longer in effect. Even though the law is on the books, the law is not in effect because the Supreme Court has made a ruling that says that law is no good. When the Supreme Court then decides, actually, we got it wrong and reverses itself, well, you go back to the law. The law becomes effective again. This is constitutional law 101. I happen to have been a lawyer. I happen to know constitutional law. Happen to have been my highest grade in law school. Happen to have practiced in the area. It's constitutional law 101. A law is enjoined by the Supreme Court. Its effectiveness is stopped when the Supreme Court has a decision that rules against those sorts of laws. When the Supreme Court reverses itself, the law goes back into effect. You don't have to reauthorize the law. You don't have to repass the law. You don't have to do any of that sort of stuff. That's what happened in Arizona. In the 1800s, Arizona had a law that said abortion is prohibited. The Supreme Court in 1973 ruled in Roe versus Wade that those laws are unconstitutional. The Arizona legislature never took the law off the books. A couple years ago, the Dobbs decision reversed Roe v. Wade and said this is an issue for the states. So guess what? The Arizona law is on the books. What the Arizona Supreme Court did was not impose abortion on Arizona. What the Arizona Supreme Court did is say, hey, We're not saying this is a good law or not, but we are saying that in light of the Dobbs decision, this law is in effect and the legislature can change it. This was not anti-democratic. This was the way constitutional law has always worked in the United States of America. And you would never know that if you listen to the media hysteria about abortion. You would never know that if you listen to the media coverage of the law. Because the media has seen that Democrats keep getting rewarded by voters on abortion issues, so they can play this up as Republican-appointed judges have imposed abortion on Arizona. It's not what they did at all. But you're not getting the truth from the media because the media wants to help the Democrats. And Arizona is a swing state. Abortion is a major hot-button issue that has benefited the Democrats since the Dobbs decision. And so they're looking at this saying, hey, this case could swing Arizona for Donald Trump. Now, hilariously, Donald Trump yesterday released a video and he said, you know what? I think that abortion should be left to the states. He didn't use the word federalist, but that's essentially what he said this isn't a federal issue. This is a state issue. That's what the Dobbs decision held. We should leave it that way. And if you want to live in a pro-life state, live in a pro-life state. If you want to live in a pro-abortion state, live in a pro-abortion state. And if you want to change the law, change it at the state level. So here comes the Arizona Supreme Court and says, well, we've got a law in our books that prohibits abortion. Roe v. Wade is no more. Therefore, this law, never repealed, is back in effect. Legislature, change it if you want. And Donald Trump comes and says, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't like this. Carrie Lake is out condemning the Arizona Supreme Court. All the Supreme Court of Arizona did was say this is the law on the books. It's therefore in effect. If you don't like it, legislature, change the law. But why change the law when you can cause people to be outraged about the law? Arizona now has a Democratic governor because the Republicans nominated Carrie Lake and she was a terrible candidate. It's why the Democrats will win the Senate seat in Arizona as well, because Carrie Lake's a terrible candidate. The governor of Arizona doesn't seem to be that motivated thus far to get the legislature to change the law. Why get the legislature to change the law when you can use the issue? If the Arizona legislature does wish to change the law, I have a suggestion. They should look to Glenn Youngkin in Virginia, where Youngkin and the Republicans were able to neutralize the issue in the polling by telling everyone 15 weeks. We'll make abortion legal for 15 weeks. And after that, it's got to be rape, incest, life, or the mother. It was a proposition. Now, granted, they didn't win. In fact, they had a setback in the House there, but pretty much every political commentator, left, right, and center, has said they totally neutralized the abortion issue. It was about other issues. In fact, it was about Republican turnout more than anything else. It wasn't that Democrats had a massive turnout in Virginia. It was that Republicans did not turn out the way that Republicans had expected them to, except on Election Day. They turned out overwhelmingly on Election Day, but there was already a ballot access gap in early voting. Republicans continue to lose because they don't go vote early. But friends, what's happening in Arizona is the way the law works. And the media hysteria trying to say these judges have imposed abortion, that these Republican-appointed judges, these pro-lifers, they imposed this on Arizona. They did no such thing. They followed constitutional precepts. If anything, they restrained themselves because they pretty much said, we're not necessarily fans of this law, but we don't have the power to change it. The legislature needs to change it. The legislature could and should change the law. It's just very notable that the way the media is spinning this dumbs down the conversation and willfully dumbs it down in a way to make it politically advantageous for the Democrats. I at least want you guys to be smarter. I want you to understand what's going on here. I want you to understand what's at play here. What's at play is the Arizona Supreme Court did not impose abortion on Arizona. The Arizona Supreme Court said we have a abortion ban on our books. Roe v. Wade is no longer in effect. The legislature never repealed that law, therefore that law is in effect. And if you wish to change it, you need the legislature to do it. We, a judiciary, do not have the power to do that. That was judicial restraint. It wasn't judicial activism. And it wasn't an imposition of an abortion ban. It was recognition there had been one since the 1800s that was never repealed by the legislature. The larger commentary on this is just how willfully partisan major media outlets, and you all know this, I realize I'm preaching to the crowd on this, but when these examples come up where they just get it flatly wrong and they embrace the Democratic hysterical talking points over it, it's flatly wrong. It's misleading and it's degrading and it undermines truth because there is a real truth. You can talk about the politics of it. Yes, I think the politics of this greatly hurt the Republican Party. I do. And I think you're going to see a lot of Republicans who have claimed to be pro-life for a very long time reveal themselves to not be pro-life. They're about winning. And they're going to compromise on this issue and sell out the pro-life cause because they think that this is a losing issue for them. If Republicans were smart, they would focus on crime and the economy and maybe do what Glenn Youngkin did in Virginia and go for a 15-week ban. But I got to say, Trump's position is actually the moderate position. Let every state decide. We got 50 states. They can have 50 different abortion laws. We don't need one size fits all. And by the way, a national abortion legislation isn't going to pass the Senate because of the filibuster. You got to have 60 votes. That's not going to happen. But the reality on all of this stuff, y'all, the reality on every single part of it is that the Republicans can focus on crime and the economy. The media is convinced that abortion is the be-all, end-all issue of American politics right now. They have data that appears to look like it, but I actually think that data is because the Republicans have just completely botched talking about crime and the economy in a way that resonates with voters. If they do that, like they did in Virginia, I think they can at least mitigate the damage done by the abortion situation. They've got all sorts of economic news to talk about. I mean, you got regional banks around the country that are struggling now with corporate loans and real estate loans. There's a big story today about St. Louis's downtown being completely empty, and regional banks there are starting to struggle because they funded so much of the development. That's why Swiss America has been sounding the alarm about the secret war on cash. They want to help you protect your hard-earned assets now. You have this economy possible now, interest rate rises instead of declines, all these situations. Got big issues. Swiss America can educate you. And they've got this report, The Secret War on Cash. They want to talk to you about it. They want to give it to you for free. You can call or text my name, Eric Erickson, 800-289-2646, and get The Secret War on Cash report for free. This includes digital forms of currency. The Secret War on Cash report, it's free. You just mention my name, Eric Erickson, by calling or texting 800-289-2646. 800-289-2646. 2646. Let Swiss America help you protect your hard-earned assets. Again, mention my name, Eric Erickson, 800-289-2646. Message data rates apply.
You can follow Eric around on social media at EW Erickson on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And check him out at EWErickson.com. Want Eric's weekly recipes? They're super delicious. Text recipe to 33777 now.
My goodness, the storm is raging through the South today. Oof, when my sister's town that she lives in Mississippi got hit by a tornado last night. They're fine. Their house is fine. But I'm just seeing video from a couple hours ago of a tornado crossing I-12 near Slidell, Louisiana. My parents have had power outages and tornadoes in their area as well, so prayers for them. Y'all, I have to end today, and I got to use a biological word for an anatomical part of the male body. It's just, I got to tell you the story. I have to tell you the story. So after the eclipse, a number of friends of mine sent me the same video. It was grainy footage purporting to be of the eclipse, but But if you watch it, the eclipse is because of a man's testicles getting in front of the sun. That's the video clip. Is you're seeing the sun, and then you suddenly realize it looks like the camera angle is from between someone's legs, and then you see what's dangling down blocking the sun. Several friends of mine, including a pastor friend of mine, sent me that clip. Everyone found it. It's all guys, by the way. You should know. It's all men. No women sent me the clip. Just men sending men the clip. It's like, who did that? Where did? Well, I have the answer to the question. Many of you might have gotten this clip as well, sent by your guy friends. Turns out in Mexico, on national television in Mexico, they ran that footage as if it was footage of the eclipse. I'm not making this up. I couldn't make this up. In some news channel in Mexico ran this footage as if it was the eclipse video. And only when they ran it live did the entire nation see some man's testicles blocking the sun. That really happened. So all these people on Monday night, I'm at the Braves game on Monday night. I'll never take my friend David to another Braves game because he's an unrepentant Mets fan. And every time I've taken him to watch the Braves play the Mets have won. And we actually left halfway through the game. The Braves were up 4. He's like, I'm not watching this game. I'm not. And the moment we leave, suddenly it's tied 4-4. He's like, the Mets are still going to lose. I'm not going to go back. So we go have a cigar at the cigar place by the Braves team, and the freaking Mets win. And, oh, yes, it crushed me. But, well, so I'm at the game, and I start getting these friends of mine start sending me the same video clip. And it's like I got a pastor friend of mine who sends it to me. I'm in this group chat. One of the guys sends it. Another guy sends it to me, and it's the same clip of the eclipse and where the – instead of the moon coming in front of the sun, well, it's a guy's – well, anyway. Turns out where it came from was this Mexico City television station where that was the
that was a video that they ran live on national television for people to watch them move. That was their moment of total darkness was oh my gosh, I gotta stop. That was live on Mexican television. And my question really is, how many people lost their jobs? Because you know, if it happened here, a whole lot of people would lose their jobs for not actually checking the footage before it was shown to the public. But in Mexico, I don't know. Do they follow the same rules, or did everyone have a great laugh? What's happening? Oh my gosh. All right. I gotta move on, but I don't know that I can move on because that's just the wildest thing. Except here at the end, let me just say this, because this is blowing up on social media. Donald Trump is in Atlanta, went into a Chick-fil-A, declared it the Lord's chicken. He's not wrong. He bought everybody milkshakes at a Chick-fil-A in Atlanta. And a black lady was in the Chick-fil-A and starts yelling at him, don't believe the media. We're all with you. Given the anecdotal evidence of this radio program, I think the Democrats are going to be surprised at the number of black voters who vote for Donald Trump. It's going to be much larger than they would have you believe. Something's happening out there. People just don't like Joe Biden.
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops a DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.